So it's September 25th, and now I remember something. Since it's the first Sunday of fall, what is changing? Yes, the leaves are changing. They are. A lot of green still out there, but already my car gets leaves in the place where the windshield wipers go, and then I'm driving down the road, and leaves kind of blow up over the hood and everything. Or, well, they blow up over the windshield from the little... You have in your cars a little place where the windshield wipers go, right? Even your new car, it's got that little place. You probably have leaves in there this morning. Maybe you don't remember. Oh, it was frosted over. Yeah, it was a little chilly this morning too. Well, it's Sunday where we see the leaves. And, well, you know, leaves for fall is one thing. Leaves fall to the ground and you rake them. And then you jump into the pile of the leaves. Then you rake them again. How many of you still do that? Anyone jump into piles of leaves? Still jump into the pile? That's awesome. It's fun. If you have to have a big enough pile, though, otherwise it hurts, right? You get lots of pain. And then you need leaves for a different purpose. See, I have spent lots of time over the last several summers at Peaceful Valley Ranch. I didn't go this summer, but for many summers I've been at this Dude Ranch in Colorado. I hope to be back in a summer soon because I missed it so much. While I'm there, I stay in one cabin. There's a few cabins that I've stayed in, but one of the cabins I stay in, you open up the window at night and you hear the sounds of the rushing Middle St. Vrain River. You ever slept next to a river? Oh, it's awesome. I know that the river has power in it. And I know that it's dangerous to try to go into the river at that place, but this river that is rushing, you can hear it, and it feels soothing and peaceful. I fall asleep to it every time I'm there. It makes me feel safe, even though I know that inside the river it might not be safe. Just the sound of that river rushing is safe. I don't know exactly what it is. I mean, some people would say it's just white noise. Like, when I was growing up, I used to be soothed by the sound of a vaporizer in my room when I was sick. So even when I wasn't sick, I wanted the vaporizer to be going because it just felt right. Maybe that's it from the river. It's that soothing noise. But I think that the river, more than that, it helps me to notice life because there's life rolling through that river. I know it's water, but there's fish in that river. There's all kinds of green in that river. So the river helps me to notice life. There's other things that I do when I'm at the Dude Ranch. The biggest thing is I go and ride horses. I may have talked about riding horses before because I really like to ride horses. And this Dude Ranch, I sound like a commercial for it right now, but this Dude Ranch is not the kind of place where you go on trail rides and they put you on the horse and then you walk for 2 hours and you come back and you're like, well, that was fun to look at the sights. This is a place where if you don't know how to ride, they'll do that. But if you know how to ride, they'll take you on more significant horseback rides, longer and faster. There's one ride that takes you from the ranch to a place called the Jamestown Settlement. And it takes about 5 hours to go there on a normal trail ride. But I go there on a not normal trail ride, and there are lots of places where the horses can really run. And so this ride takes about 2 hours, maybe an hour and 45 minutes to get to this settlement. Beautiful place along a river where last year I was floating down in an inner tube and I caught my knee around a rock as it was dangling there. And instead of just letting it go and keep going, let my body sort of spin around, I decided to try and right myself by using my leg that was wedged in there, and I hurt my MCL, and I was in therapy for about 8 weeks afterwards, and now it's okay. See, I can do everything. I can jump. I knew that last October I could run at a full sprint. Knew that the knee was better, and I think that I've almost paid off the bill after insurance. I'm almost there. But I was at a river, Jamestown Settlement. So what I really like, not so much the river there where I got hurt, but is the ride there and the ride back, because you get on a horse and you run. Just run. You ever been on a horse that's running? That's fun. There are few things that I've experienced in life that are more exhilarating than holding on to the reins with one hand holding on to your cowboy hat with the other, even though you've got a thing around your neck so that it doesn't fall off, and just running. Anyone? It's just great. And these are trail horses that when they run, it's not as smooth as you see at the fair where those horses just run really fast or doing the barrel races or doing the, what's the thing where they grab the hook? One of those things, but those horses ride really smooth. These are horses that don't really care so much about riding super smooth, so you're moving in the saddle. And after an all-day ride of that, guess what? Yeah, you're sore. Even after a few-hour ride. There's something also about riding horses that if you don't ride them all the time, your muscles and your skeleton aren't really prepared for the jostling and the moving that you're going to get. There's something along the trail that helps that, though. There's the aspen tree. The aspen is part of the willow family, and the aspen tree has these, they call them quaking aspen. Have you ever seen tree? In the wind, it sort of flutters, and it makes a fluttery sound, and it almost looks silver. It's just sort of quaking, moving like that. Well, the leaves are, they catch a lot of wind, but they also have a really distinct and bitter flavor to them. You know someone who has tasted the leaves before because they usually tell this little joke to people on the trail. They say, hey, taste these leaves. They taste like root beer. They don't taste like root beer. They taste bitter. They taste like aspirin. Anyone ever eat aspirin just for fun? I mean, the little kids' aspirin, those would taste okay, but just regular aspirin tastes a little bit foul. It's, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but there's the salicylates or salicylic acid that's in aspirin, which comes from the willow bark, and the aspen tree is part of that family. And when you chew on an aspen leaf, even though it's bitter, it's releasing salicylates, which are pain relievers. They're anticoagulants, just like aspirin. The effect takes a little bit longer, but it is longer lasting. So along the horseback ride, to avoid pain, you just grab a few aspen leaves as you're going, and you chew and suck on the leaves, and then you're not as sore at the end of the ride. It's really true. That's what happens. So next time you go horseback riding in the mountains and there are aspen trees, take some leaves. They don't taste like root beer, These leaves, which people long before people now have known about, before there was a pharmacy that you could go to for pain relief, people would chew the aspen leaves. They would chew the bark of the willow, too, but the aspen leaves that are right there along the trail. And so these aspen leaves are for the healing of backside soreness after a horseback ride. That's your little tip. There may not be aspen leaves along trails that you go along. The aspen tree is not the only tree whose leaves have medicinal properties. Like I said, long before you could go to the pharmacy and get medicine, people throughout the world have been utilizing medicinal properties of the leaves or the bark of trees for healing purposes, as pain relievers, for treating diabetes. That's why you see all of this herbal medicine now, and some of it, I don't know. I don't know if it works or not, but there's still an awful lot of properties for healing that come from leaves. And some medicines are still made from those plants. They don't produce them chemically. They have to produce them just by grinding up leaves and things like that. So the aspen tree is not the only tree that has healing properties. Lots of trees do. At the time the Bible is written, and Revelation is written pretty late in the whole process before they put the Bible together, they being Bible scholars way back when, had a big gathering and they voted which books should be in, which books should be out. Revelation is written late in the process. And the people who wrote and who read these books would know that leaves of trees had healing properties. Not every leaf of every tree. But this verse that says, the trees along the river of life, their leaves are for the healing of the nations. For us, it doesn't make quite as much sense. For the original hearers, the original readers, it would make a lot more sense because they would use leaves for healing. So they'd get, well, of course, leaves are for healing. But this is, they'd say, oh, this is for healing of the nations. For us, we have to take one more step. Because we go, leaves for healing of the nations? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But we have to go with leaves have healing properties first. And then The leaves are for the healing of the nations. I am pretty sure that healing of the nations is much better than healing of the sore backside after horseback riding. But there's a similarity in there in the healing properties of the leaves. Healing of the nations. The nations that are sick. I'll bet that those leaves don't even taste bitter. I don't think that they taste like root beer either, but I would really like to have those trees now. But this scene that we're seeing in the Bible is a future time. It's called New Heaven and New Earth. And this is the trees along the river of the water of life. Their leaves are for the healing of the nation. And I really wish we had them now. Not just our nation, the nations. As if to say, these leaves are for peace and reconciliation among all the people that hate each other. And guess what? At the time Revelation was written, there were nations that hated each other. And now there are nations that hate each other. Can we have those leaves now? And the tree is not the only marvelous thing that's in the verse. I mentioned it 3 or 4 seconds ago. There's the river of the water of life that flows from the middle of the city all the way out, and the trees are on either side. All across the globe, water. Water is life. This river of the water of life, maybe it has more to it, but just across the globe, right today, for every living being, water is foundational. Without water, you can't live. Not at all. It's a basic biological fact. It's not in debate at all. There's no controversy that people need water to live, that animals need water to live, that everything needs water to live. Yet, this foundational fact that is not in any kind of debate, more than 1 billion people in our world don't have access to safe drinking water. Another 1.5 billion face water shortages on a regular basis. And because we know that water is foundational, no water means no life. If you can't have water, you don't live. And this sermon isn't it's not a challenge to use less water. Water scarcity, water conservation, water access equality, they're foundational issues of human life and of human rights. But then you get a little more controversial about water use and what is a good use of water, what is not, and is water a commodity and all that. If you want to know more about like the United Nations continuing initiative to improve worldwide access to fresh water and sanitation, you can go to unwater.org. It's not a religious site. It's just it's an initiative to try to bring water to everyone that needs water or to every corner of the globe. I guess you can't have corners on the globe. To every area where there are living creatures on the globe, unwater.org. But for today, you know, I just want to stress how important water is for life. It's foundational today. It was foundational when Revelation was written. It will continue to be foundational as long as there is life on our planet. Got to have water. And in Revelation, there's a description of the river of the water of life. A river that gives life to all. Some people will look at it and say, this is the river of the water of life, that when you drink from it, you will live forever. But since water is foundational for life, I want to look at this and say that this river of the water of life is a river that is available to everyone because it gives life in a place where death is no more. In Revelation, it talks about death being no more. It's just that water is available to everyone, to the 1 billion people that don't have enough, to the 1.6 billion more that have water scarcity, water shortages. This is water for everyone, water for life. And this river that's described in Revelation, Revelation can be a controversial book. You know, it's all about these end times and scholars debate it. And I was actually listening to a preacher on the way in who was angry at anyone who didn't agree with him. You listen to Spy sometimes, right? And anyone listening to Spy this morning? Were you listening to the preacher that was angry at anyone that didn't agree? The book of Revelation and all of the prophetic things that are in the Bible are controversial, and no one really knows how things end up. But people try to figure out exactly what it is. And it's possible that the book of Revelation is describing a very real physical place with the river of the water of life and the trees for healing of the nations. It's also possible that it's more metaphorical, that it's more figurative, that water is available to everyone and that there is peace and that the nations are healed, are reconciled to one another. But there's not this one place where the water flows like crystal and you can go to that place and look at it. But in either case, it describes something good, it describes something necessary, and it describes something foundational for life. Tree leaves that are for the healing of the nations. For every person in every nation. For governments. For folks who have territorial wars. Healing. It means the ability to thrive, not just survive. Healing means reconciliation. Healing means peace. And healing is what God desires. It's why it's written about there in such a good light. And then there's a river. River of the water of life. So a river that is life. Life because the water is life-giving. Life because the water is available not just to a select few, but to all. Life because it's what God gives. And life because it's what God desires. So in this reading today, the culmination of the Bible, the end book, there's healing and there's life. And that is what God is about. Not about anger, not about lightning striking if you don't think or say the right thing, not about being the cosmic sheriff who's going to get you for that, about healing and life. That's what God is about. And it's what we're supposed to be about too. I know that things aren't perfect. I know that things are far from perfect. For many people that live, even in our community, but many people on the planet, they're barely passable. Things are barely passable. For many, they're horrible, unlivable. But take heart, because no matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, God gives healing and life, because that's what God is about. Even when we feel hopeless, let us not lose hope. I know that's hard to do, and it seems like it's just not right, but you can keep it running through your head. Remember, I'm with you on this. I feel the same awfulness and the same hopelessness. But let me preach to myself and to all of us. When we feel hopeless, let us not lose hope. When we feel rejected, let us not forget to love. God gives healing. God gives life, a river of the water of life. And so let's swim in that river. Really. I mean, this river that we sang about, this river with healing power, let's swim in it. Jesus was baptized in a river. When we talk about this water flowing, we're not so much talking about the rushing water and the worrisome water and the water that can bring death and destruction. We're talking about this river that we can dip our feet into, the river that we can go down to pray, the river that the famous preacher joke comes from. Do you remember what it was? It was maybe during the time of Prohibition, but it was about not consuming alcohol. And the preacher said, if I had a fifth of vodka, I would take it down to the river and I'd pour it in there. And if I had some Jack Daniels, I'd take it down to the river and I'd pour it in there. And if I had too much wine, I would take it down to the river and pour it in there. Come on, let's all go down and pour that stuff in the river. And let's get rid of it. And now let's sing our closing hymn, Shall We Gather at the River? Yeah, it's that water. So let's swim in the river. Oh, you thought I was done, didn't you? Well, it's pretty close. And we're singing, "Shall We Gather at the River?" But let's swim in that river. Let's share the water of the river, because there is an abundance. This is water that does not go away. This is from a well that does not run dry. This is from a spring that keeps springing. There is enough for all in that river. Now you ready to sing? All right, amen. Let's stand and sing, "Shall We Gather at the River?"